This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our next story is, of course, about what happened over the weekend. The Cameron Highlands by-election, Barisan Nasional, has, of course, come out on top with a very comfortable margin.
The MP for the constituency is now Ramli Mohammad Noor, beating up Pakatan Harapan's M. Manogaran and independent candidates Wong Sing Yi and Salihuddin Abdul Talib. So let's talk about reactions, and let's start with the winning parties. Dato' Seri Mohammad Hassan, Deputy President of UMNO, said this signals the rise of a Malay Muslim wave and that the past UMNO cooperation will strengthen their agenda to unite the Ummah of Malays and Islam. Past President Dato' Seri Abdul Hadi Awang also sees this as a win and a positive development in the partnership between the two parties.
And of course, there are a lot of reactions on all fronts. On the flip side, for M. Manogaran, he accused BN of playing up racial sentiments during the election, but said, of course, he'll continue to serve the people of Cameron Highlands. Party leaders like Lim Guan Eng and Muhyiddin Yassin both said that, you know, the thing to take away from this is that there are lessons that need to be learned about, I guess, not just the campaigning of it, but also understanding the electorate, understanding what's going on. And these are lessons that can be taken into the next by-election.
And there have been lots of analysis as well. Some see this as a backlash against the government for wanting to ratify the ICERT and the riots at a temple in Subang that saw a Malay firefighter, Muhammad Adib, killed. In an interview with the Malaysian Insight, Professor Dr. Awang Azman Awang Pawi from University Malaya explained that this is driven by the Malay community, but the government shouldn't play into the exploitation of Malay Muslim issues. Instead, the focus should be on making good policies that target the community and just for them to flip-flop a little less.
Other analysts that the Malaysian Insight interviewed, like Ilham Center Director Azlan Zainal, said that the results show that past voters are now comfortable voting for Barisan. I also read a pretty interesting piece from Justin Ong on the Malay Mail, which said, you know, basically, it seems as if the government is still kind of operating on a very negative playbook, right? Still talking about, still campaigning very negatively, pointing out errors, pointing out, you know, past misdeeds. And so I felt as if overall it was just a very negative campaign. You know, on the one hand, you have all these criticisms of allegations of corruption being thrown back and forth. On the other, you have, the opposition playing a very strong race card indeed. And, you know, even in the post-victory statements, you see that race card being played up still. So overall, I mean, I don't think it was a surprising win. I didn't find it surprising, yep. But the campaign was disheartening.
Well, it wasn't a surprising win also because BN has held that seat forever. They've had that seat and they still will continue to hold it for the next few elections. But I think you're right. Pakatan still seems to be beating the dead horse, right? They are still talking about errors of the past administration, the wrongs that they've done and how they're trying to correct it. But really, I think the messaging is wrong, the way they are campaigning is wrong, and there were a lot of missteps on their end as well. Manogaran, for instance, at the wore a white shirt with the Pakatan logo at the voting centre, as if they didn't learn from GE14. You know, they also held threats against the Tok Batin in Cameron Highlands that was done by a PKR senator. So definitely a lot of mistakes on their end, definitely a lot of lessons for them to learn from.
Yes, and like we said, there has been a lot of reaction to this, just a whole ton of questions that have arisen, and we wanted to understand that a little better. So we're going to be speaking with Ibrahim Sufian, who's the programme director of Merdeka Center, right after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about what occurred over the weekend with the Cameron Highlands by-election. You can, of course, weigh in. Let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. But we are going to cross over in the meantime to Ibrahim Sufian, also known as Ben Sufian, of course. He's the Program Director of Merdeka Center. Ben, thanks for joining us. So there has been a lot of talk since about the collaboration between UMNO and PAS and its impact on the by-election. Do you think this was necessarily a big factor in BN's win?
Well, I think, first of all, this is a very significant development politically for the country because these two Malay parties have been at odds with one another for more than 60 years. And even though there have been some times when they were warm towards each other, I think this is the very first time since the early 70s that the two parties are politically cooperating with one another. And I think that as we approach, you know, future elections, particularly, you know, the next election that's going to roll by 2023 thereabouts, if the PAS and UMNO cooperation becomes stronger, becomes a factor in the political landscape, then definitely it will play an impact in terms of how politics are organized in the country and also the kind of rhetorics that will be used to mobilize voters. So it is significant, although it is still early days.
Well, how do you see the UMNO PAS alliance develop in the near future since, well, right now it's still in the early days?
Well, I think first and foremost, when PAS and UMNO collaborate politically, it also means that there is a resignation on the part of both of them that they cannot win over the rest of the country, the rest of the communities that make up Malaysia, that the cooperation will be centered upon winning over the Malay Muslim electorate to their side. And it will entail an electoral pact where between the two of them, they will need to divide up the seats, whether at state constituencies or at the parliamentary level, between them so that they don't contest against one another anymore. And so I think with that is as a backdrop, we are going to see politics shift further to the right, meaning more on conservative issues, on identity politics, because that is a factor where both parties are strong.
And UMNO Vice President Datuk Sri Muhammad Khalid Nordin said that the win is the first step for Barisan to come back to power. Do you see it that way?
Well, it's still very early days, and it's still, you know, a win that was centered on mobilizing Malay voters to support the UMNO BN candidate. You know, in order for BN to take back power, it needs to win not just the Malay vote, but also non-Malays and other Malaysians in Sabah and Sarawak. You know, by focusing narrowly, working together with PAS, that might win them some Malay voters, but it doesn't bring them any closer to winning the rest of the country.
And what do you think of Pakatan's defeat? Does it in any way indicate loss of support for the coalition?
Well, I think as things currently stand, there has been a kind of fatigue of sorts with respect to politics. Because what we saw transpire in Cameron Highlands is, you know, amongst the rural voters in the constituency of July, where there is a Felda settlement as well as other agrarian communities, the turnout was very high. I think it closely reached, I think, 10%. But however, in the more urbanized constituency of Tanah Rata, the turnout was significantly lower. So we do notice that voters in urban areas tend to be more fatigued, less interested in politics at this point in time, and didn't turn out in large numbers. So I think for Pakatan, it is not easy to say that they have lost support. I think what has transpired is their opponents have come together. They have gathered their strength and mobilized it effectively. But for Pakatan, is they need a game changer. They need to win back skeptical voters and persuade those that supported them to continue to come out to vote. And this, I think, is going to be important in future by-elections.
And when it comes to this issue of voter fatigue, political fatigue, you talked about the difference between urban and rural voters in terms of this feeling and the sentiment. Why is there this difference?
Well, I think in urban areas, you know, people have different issues that they're concerned about. You know, I think in urban areas, people are more concerned about national-level issues because they are more tied to the economy. And at the same time, urban voters tend to be split between those that reside in the area and those that have left Cameron Highlands to work in other parts of the country. And the timing of the election, which is a couple of weeks away from the Chinese New Year festivities, may make some of them, you know, not take the trip back home because they are just going to make the trip again in very, you know, in a short period of time. So people may not take the trouble to go back. And secondarily, they feel that, you know, this election doesn't have a major impact in terms of the politics of Pahang, or let alone national politics, because it doesn't change the political equation. Whereas in the rural areas, the voters that live there also vote there. And at this point in time, the voters are concerned about low commodity prices. Palm oil prices are quite low. And then within the Felda settlement, there's some uncertainty about the future of Felda. and what the government has in store for them. So I think for them, I think they were mobilized and they felt energized to actually go out and vote. And this, I think, tells the different motivations of voters when they showed up at the ballot box.
So Justin Nong, news editor of Malay Mail, wrote an article that criticised Pakatan for reverting to a negative playbook during the campaigning for this by-election, and we spoke about this slightly earlier. That included the usual hits, dire warnings of Barisan's rule, reminders of 1MDB and so on. Do you agree it's time to move on from that rhetoric?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of the, I think, growing criticism of Pakatan is the lack of imagination in which the campaign was carried out. But I think it reflects a bigger concern that many voters have that Pakatan was voted in to solve the problems of the previous administration. And, you know, besides a few statements and perhaps the recent budget and the midterm review, there hasn't been any very strong, significant policies or measures that are going to be put in place about it trying to solve problems of the past. More critically, the main problem that people want to see resolved is about the economy. You know, in many places throughout the country, people are very concerned about cost of living and their livelihoods, especially in the rural communities. And people have yet to see a strong economic strategy coming out of Pakatan's leadership about how it's going to solve these problems. I think that is a major concern. And Pakatan has outlined some reforms, and I've also signaled to people that it will take 3 years for these reforms to take root. So that's a long time to gamble and wait. I think people have far less patience than that, and I think Pakatan needs to take heed of the results of this election so that they can, you know, ramp up the solutions and communicate it widely and get public feedback.
So as we said earlier, a lot of people have been writing a lot of articles about this. One on the Malaysian Insight quoted several analysts who said that Pakatan need to rethink its approach to Malay Muslims who are the target of UMNO and PAS. What fresh approach do you think Pakatan needs to adopt without descending into more racial rhetoric?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Pakatan brand is one that is centred on multiculturalism and also more civil liberties and so a more liberal approach towards nation building and statecraft. And so it has to launch itself on that platform rather than, you know, slide into identity politics, which is an area where they cannot win. And I think in this area, you know, Pakatan's advantage had been on policy. They had brought about Dr. Mahathir from retirement and into active politics because he's a trusted hand at running the economy and running the country. And so by that extension, people expect Pakatan to offer some solutions to the problems of the country. So I think people are willing. So I think some, not all, but some people, many people are willing to step aside from being immersed in identity politics and willing to support leadership that can offer them new solutions and hope for a future. I think of late or more in the recent period, Pakatan's inability to deliver on some of the promises or even articulate its position effectively, I think that has hampered its ability to sustain public imagination and also by extension support. So I think they need to go back to that. So Pakatan's advantage is in the policy arena. It's not just reform in the governance sector, which is like rule of law, anti-corruption of the sort, but also more critically with respect to re-engineering the Malaysian economy, coming up with new ideas about engines of growth and how people, especially young people, can be made part and parcel of the future, productive future of the country. That's where Pakatan needs to go in, needs to offer solutions.
What would you say are the key takeaways for both Pakatan Harapan and Barisan Nasional from this by-election?
Well, I think for Barisan, you know, what's clear from this election maybe are three things. Number one, they need to offer a candidate that can connect with the local population. So candidates that are from the community, trusted by the community, and maybe can speak of some of the issues. Number two, you know, for UMNO and BN, they have to resolve their internal differences, be united, and at the same time work with their former opponents in order to maximize their number of votes. And number three, I think for BN, which I think they have gotten things right, is to focus on just key issues that can mobilize the people. I think in many ways, Barisan is very fortunate in the context of Cameron Highlands because they only knew that they need to cater to the two distinct communities there, the Malay community in the rural areas and also the Orang Asli. And by some extent, when we looked at how things took place on election day, it's very clear that the Barisan National Machinery is really very strong. They mobilized people to vote, and people were showing up to vote in the Orang Asli areas as early as 7:30 a.m. So which means that they still got it. And they utilized whatever resources and advantages they had admirably. But I think the problem they have is that they don't have a cogent message that can attract non-Malay voters back to them. So if you look at the voting pattern, you know, that hasn't changed. In fact, it has appreciably declined even among the Indian community. For Pakatan, I think the key takeaway is they need a more coordinated effort between the parties within Pakatan in order to present a solid message. Number two, they also need to approach campaigning and politicking as a government and a new government that is not rooted in the practices of the past. So they cannot do this, you help me, I help you kind of business. They have to do this more intelligently. But more critically, number three is they need to work hard to communicate to the voters how their policies and reforms will lead to better lives for them. And in the interim, you know, they need to find ways to give voters, particularly low-income people in rural as well as urban areas, a leg up in a time of economic uncertainty and a slowing economy.
Ben, thanks for sharing your thoughts. That was Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, weighing in on the results of the Cameron Highlands by-election and, well, basically what it might mean. So we've got Dr. RK here saying the only silver lining in this Pakatan Harapan manufactured debacle in Cameron Highlands is that, you know, we have the first MP from the Orang Asli community.
And that's something to be celebrated.
I really think that that is a win. I mean, overall, that is a win, but how we feel about, I guess, the campaign, about what happened, about the results, separate issue. Dr. RK also says, I don't think that the result is a referendum on the government. Rather, it appears to be the coming together of the two R's, the race and religion coalition, which is not salubrious for the political health of the country going forward. Noorhan agrees, saying that there's a dangerous trend of playing race and religious sentiments. It will bring further divide among the races in Malaysia. And I have to say that I feel that the government perhaps needs to address this sooner rather than later. I understand that it is a big ask. It's like me saying, you know, solve the Middle East, give me world peace. I know that it's a big ask, and that it's an ask based on really several years of, several decades of this issue coming up over and over again. But because we had such a huge change on May 9th, it needs to be addressed.
It definitely does, because we are at risk of UMNO and Barisan, who basically really doesn't have much to lose anymore. And if that rhetoric is, if that's the only thing they are going to cling to and cling on, they are going to go all out with this narrative. And then once they take over and be able to write that story that they want to, I think it might be too late for Pakatan to come back and take back the pen.
Yeah, because that's what it is, right? I mean, if you're going to dominate discourse with this issue, then Pakatan Harapan is going to be stuck in the game of having to respond, you know, constantly responding, as opposed to telling people, look, this is what we're doing, actually. Instead of doing that, you're going to have to constantly say, no, don't worry. So it's a lot to ask. You can continue to let us know what you think about the Cameron Highlands by-election and what has occurred. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We've had a couple of messages come in about New Year's resolutions and 30-day challenges. You can continue to message us about that also. In the meantime, we are going to be headed to the news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.